Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. Welcome to the Cool Shit Podcast. I believe, I mean, I might be wrong, but episode 30? Episode 30? Yeah, wowzers, McTrousers. I'm just gonna say my name today. My name's Gareth Carter.
And hi, this is Gareth.
So you did that like it's Alcoholics Anonymous.
I know. I mean, she cut me in as well. I mean, like, I was in my flow.
If she does that again, I'm going to turn her mic off.
Okay. Who are we talking about? We are talking about Lucy, who's back again. Lucy, how you doing?
Yeah. Well, good, thanks.
Yeah, Lou. That's the first cheer you've ever done, actually.
Yeah, you got a whoop. Is this your second time?
Or third time.
Okay. You're doing well when you get your hat trick. And for the first time, we have... What, why are you laughing? I haven't even said your name. Bree, how are you doing?
I'm good. Great.
Good.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Positive.
Positive.
So yeah.
To be honest with you, like I'm feeling pretty tired. It's been rainy. When I left the house, it was like pouring down. I've got wet socks. So like the fact that I've got two of the most positive people in the agency here is just a good thing.
Thank you.
Yeah, right. Not the most positive man I know. The little chief, aka little chef. And also the editor-in-chief of the Cool Shit Podcast. How are you, James?
Yeah, you've chosen me on a bad day to say that I'm not very positive, because I'm going to level with you, Gareth. I don't want to be here.
You know what? I could tell from the moment I walked in that's how you're feeling today.
Yeah, no, I'm quite sleepy, but I think we can get through this.
You look like you need a hug.
I think he's got the lurgy. Don't go anywhere near him.
Please don't touch me. No, I'm doing quite well. Thank you, Gareth.
All things considering.
Exactly. All things considered.
Okay, stories this week. Are we feeling good about those? Or
not really. No.
Oh, wow. Welcome to the Cool Shit Podcast.
Exactly. I moaned to you about them last night as I was tossing and turning in bed next to you.
Just Gareth, honey, I can't sleep. I'm worried about the podcast tomorrow.
They're all right. There's one that's particularly topical that I feel we ought to speak about, and there's one which feels relevant for our current situation.
Okay. Ooh. What's the first story you got then, James?
The first story. Okay. Well, Gareth, I see that you're sitting in what could be described as an office chair. Could you please confirm that?
That is 100% correct, James.
Okay. Well, imagine if I could press a button on your chair and it would send you jettisoning out the room at 20 kilometres an hour.
I'm keen.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, I might just shove you then. But basically, Volkswagen have done just that. They've designed a chair... which is kind of, they've engineered a bit as like an electric car, and it can go up to 20 kilometres an hour for God knows why.
I've seen it. It looks kind of cool. So it's been designed by Volkswagen designers. So it looks very much V-dub designed, and they call it out in a little video. It's got, you know, features on it. It's got music. It's got a camera for when you back up. It looks very well produced, right?
Yeah, and it is actually real. At first, I thought it was just a bit of a goof, but like, I mean, they're not selling them yet, but they have actually made this, and it's quite
it's
something.
It's got strips of LED lighting so you can signal.
Yeah, and it's also got party lights if you're working late.
That's dangerous. Is it? I swear, 20 kilometres an hour is fairly quick. You could do yourself some or others some serious harm.
Yeah, like that is really fast. I mean, like, I don't know what sort of offices they're imagining that you'd use this in, but like big warehouses.
Well,
like,
in one where they're building cars, I guess. Yes, like a big warehouse.
It's an office chair. That's not an on the floor.
Sure, but people still sit down. Like they're not. It's mainly robots actually building it now anyway. And they said they don't want. This is for their employees who sat down all day. They thought they'd make it a bit more fun. They thought, how could we raise the morale of our employees? And then they dismissed ideas like paying them more, giving them holiday. 20 kilometres an hour, office chairs.
Yeah, it seems to be a little bit dangerous. I absolutely love it. I think, like we all know, brands do this to sort of like showcase, you know, something interesting which has a sort of like a brand value against it. And I guess this is just good design, I'm guessing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's good design, good engineering. And I think they've tried to make it, like you said, they've made it look very VW, and they kind of go on about it being sort of sturdy and reliable. So they're kind of, sneakily sneaking in some kind of brand values and the things that you'd associate with VW.
So Bree, we work in a fairly big office. It's fairly open plan. It's a long way to the toilets here. Would you like go? You know, would you whiz along when you need a waz?
See, I don't think I would. Because I have road rage when I'm driving my car.
This is true, isn't it?
Right, okay, yeah.
So in all honesty, I don't want to get chair rage.
I mean, I set you up as being quite a chirpy person, yeah, but I have heard this report that you get really aggro in your car. Drove Josh to an event that we were doing, and he was like, she was effing and blinding and all sorts.
See, I just don't like people cutting me out, so I don't like people cutting me over, or is it undertaking or overtaking?
Both. Which one?
Yeah. It's just not a bit, both. It's both of them. I'm just not a bit. It's not
undertaking's
a bit of me.
Worse, to be fair. That's worse.
See, but it's just when it hits you unexpectedly, and it's like, oh, you have to honk your horn. Does this have a horn on it?
Yeah.
Am I gonna?
Yeah,
it's
got
does.
Everything.
Yeah, it does.
It's got everything. Like, of course it does. Like, it's got absolutely everything.
You can,
like,
you can.
Yeah.
Charge your phone. Yeah. All sorts.
So I feel like this is a great stoner's chair. That's what I think. Like this is. That would be the perfect use for it. As
well,
I
it's kind
see.
Of a gaming chair, really.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's a stoner who's there playing COD all night, and then has to go. Here's the microwave ding, and has to go get their snacks out, and just whizzes over there. Yeah.
Lucy, you're forever peppy. Like always, full of energy. Would you even need this? I feel like I
can run 20 kilometers an hour, so I don't know. I have a need for speed.
Okay,
you can cut that from the edit.
That's really staying.
I love the idea. I think it's really cool. It does give me, like, you know, Wall-E. Have you seen, you know, it gives
the,
me Wall-E
the Pixar film?
Yeah, like, yeah. You just wouldn't ever get out of the chair.
So that's what I was thinking. That's what I was kind of going with the Sony thing.
It is a kind of damning indictment of how sedentary we're becoming as a society. That, like, walking was the kind of the last thing that most people had left, and now we've got rid of that as well.
Yeah. That is a much more eloquent way of what I went for Wall-E, but that's James, what James said.
So would you? So would you use it, James? Would you get one?
I like to get my steps in, to be honest. No, I wouldn't, actually. I think, and also I'm pretty accident prone, and I think I'd. I've crashed a car. I've been hit by a car. I don't need any chair-based accidents.
Yeah, this does come with a seatbelt, which I would very much recommend for that you
does
wear.
It actually?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But then you're strapped to a death chair. What if it malfunctions?
I think it might. Give it a go, James. I think we've found the perfect person to test it.
Okay.
What's the second story that you've got, James?
Well, Gareth and I spoke about this last night. Should I do the one that we want to do, or the one that we feel we probably ought to do?
Yeah, we did. Like, because I was like, you know, there's a story. Well, name the story that we were both drawn to when we looked at the stories this week.
We were both drawn to Uncle Chen, who is a sort of middle-aged Chinese gentleman who ran a marathon in a very respectable 3 hours, 28 minutes. That doesn't sound that noteworthy, but in all of the the photos from the race, he's smoking a cigarette in every single one, and apparently got through a full pack of 20 in those 3.5 hours.
Yeah,
and he's felt, and he's
he
getting great times.
He looks great.
He's an advert for smoking.
He's a picture of health. He looks amazing.
Yeah. We couldn't find a reason apart from both me and you just wanted to feel less guilty about when we're in the pub having a smoke, I guess. Do you know what was the other thing we thought we should actually talk about?
We thought we should probably talk about what is, I suppose, recognised as the gold standard of Christmas adverts, which is John Lewis's latest advert.
Lucy, I've heard, like, I heard your reaction instantly to this.
I'm well up. I've seen it like 3 times every time. It's a return to form. It is, like, because I remember at my last agency, like, every Christmas, it's so lame, but Christmas ads came out and everyone was like, oh, gathered round a computer, everyone watched it, and John Lewis was always the one that I think everyone had an expectation. And I think over the last few years, it's been a bit like,
yeah, it's a tentpole. It has been a tentpole ad. I think that, like, I can't even. They went a bit random where I feel they suffer when they do these weird character ones. So, like, they had one that was like medieval with like some
with
animal
Egner,
that was like Egner. Blowing fire or something.
Like, think about the ad spend and like all of, like, everything that goes into it. Yeah. And they've taken a beat looked at it and been like, what's important?
Well, so what they've done is they've stripped this back and made and based it firmly in a reality that feels relatable. I think yeah. that's probably
Cheap
why
bastards.
This one seems to be I'm you know, note the seams to be chiming more with people, because it does feel that it has chimed more than recent years. Brie, I imagine you love this. You feel to me like a girl that likes a sentimental Christmas ad, no?
Yeah, I did shed a little tear. maybe two tears. No, it is good. I quite like the ending. I didn't get the whole roller skating or skateboard at the beginning. And then I got to the end and I was like, oh, look at that. It all makes sense, and that it took me on a journey.
Guys. Yeah. So personally, I didn't feel affected by this advert, and I don't think it's a bad advert. I think it's fair enough. But for me, the rug pull just felt a little bit contrite, because it's obviously, so just for the listeners, if you haven't seen the John Lewis ad, it's sort of like a middle-aged dad who we don't know why, in the run-up to Christmas, he is trialing and failing to learn how to skateboard, get slightly better at it, and then there's this sort of like reveal at the end that they are foster parents and they've taken a girl in who's a keen skateboarder. And I believe that John Lewis have a charitable partnership with a children's charity.
Actually, there's two. One's got quite a funny name. One's called Action for Children and one's called Who Cares Scotland, which I imagine is meant to be Who Cares, but I'm reading that as Who Cares.
Yeah, I just kind of felt like, you know, I would have liked it to lead somewhere that wasn't such a surprise, that I couldn't see something coming. I don't mind a rug pull where there's a nugget. There was no nugget. There was no Easter egg laid there for me to sort of like grab onto and go, oh, right. James, you weren't a fan, were you?
Not really. And I at first I was worried that I just had a heart made of stone, but I just found it kind of, I don't know, quite twee and sentimental. And I know it's stupid accusing the Christmas ad of being sentimental, because that's kind of the whole point, but it's very specifically sentimental as well, and I can't work out if that's a good thing, because I then watched the McDonald's one afterwards, and I don't know if it was, this was yesterday and I was a bit sleep deprived still, but it got me at the end and I suddenly got quite emotional over that. So
this
turns
is
out
kid
I do
like
I do have feeling.
This is a kid that's got a Christmas list, isn't it?
Yeah,
it,
like? and then
it's, James has to be like, I do have feeling, guys.
I was worried because
that was kind.
Everyone seemed to love the John Lewis one, but I don't know, I feel like we're prepped to like the John Lewis one because they've got that kind of reputation now of being really good.
I also think because that it's been a bit like the last few years haven't, I think the fact that, I think that's probably a bit to do with it as well. So
yeah,
people probably weren't expecting something big. And
I love
they
the song. The song was great. The music.
What was
the song?
So
the song
it was
like
a cover of all the small things.
Yeah, so it's like a punky sort of like 90s song.
It's pop punk, yeah.
Yeah, pop punk. And they've given it a sort of Johnny Cash feel, haven't they?
Yeah, it was a very Johnny Cash feel, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
quite
as good as Johnny Cash.
No, yeah, like I think it was.
Johnny, not that much cash. Yeah.
But they do have an element of an Easter egg in there. So the bear under the tree in the ad is called Lewis Bear, and it's a part of, I think, a stream of, I don't know, gifts that they have that they're calling gifts that give back. So 25% of each sale of their sort of ad inspired product collection goes towards Building Happy Futures Fund, which is obviously
that is very, very nice.
Yeah, I mean, like
I can't
say,
tell
like,
if you're
like,
being sarcastic.
I'm always, but I don't like it when something tries to make me feel something. I feel like
you're such a piece of AI.
I am a robot.
I prefer algorithms.
Yeah, and it's always that tricky one because you question whether they're kind of just you can't question the results of like a charitable donation or something, but then it feels a little bit kind of grubby when it's slightly being used to shine the wheels of a brand and kind of engender and create some good feeling around them just in time for Christmas to go get your Christmas puddings. Like even the kind of the charitable contribution, even though it's worthwhile, that's still kind of probably a calculation for what's going to benefit John Lewis as a brand the most, I'd say. Or maybe I'm just too cynical.
Yeah, but
maybe I'm horrible.
All brands effectively do anyway.
I think the thing here is like whether it resonates or it connects with you. I think the I think the strategy was right. I think James, you're being hyper cynical. I think raising money for a good charity, I think that's a noble thing. It's high profile enough that it can be a game changer for that charity. That's the key.
I'm aware that I've just said charity. A bit try hard, isn't it? I like to retract that statement.
Lucy, what have you brought to the editorial meeting for the Cool Shit podcast this week?
Okay, so I have brought... Now, I feel like James might not be into this, but I think it's good.
What have you got for me next?
I think one thing I was potentially going to bring was a discussion about the fact that we've just hit 8 billion people on the planet.
That's interesting stat,
about nearly 10 billion. How does this affect climate change and beyond? And there is a new food that could help combat / mitigate the sort of damage that meat is bringing to the world, etc. Air.
Ooh.
Meat made of air.
This isn't meta, like this isn't in a metaverse, is it?
No, this is
real.
It doesn't sound very filling, does it?
Yeah, so there is a company called Air Protein, and their whole mission statement is changing the food industry, making meat out of literally nothing at all except for the air around us. So it was inspired by a NASA study done in the 60s, which was a kind of a hypothesis for creating food for astronauts on missions using carbon dioxide that they're breathing out and then also microbes. It didn't really happen. It was in the 60s. Nothing came out of it. But Lisa Dyson, who set up the company, sort of took that and made it a reality. So it's a concoction of carbon dioxide, oxygen, and nitrogen, and then they ferment it, and like with dairy products, it kind of spits out flour. It's like harvested. Dairy products don't spit out flour.
I think you're milking the cow wrong.
Very good. But it creates a culture, and that turns into protein, and then it's harvested, and then they turn it into flour, and then that is then created, much like seitan is for a lot of vegan protein substitutes. It's turned into meat, fish, even scallops. Can you imagine? So that's their whole thing. So it's like it's got all of like the essential amino acids. It's got 2 times the amount of proteins that soybeans provide, and it's free of like pesticides, hormones, and GMOs and all that kind of stuff. Tackling it at a bigger scale, and it's also got like nothing bad in it.
So I love this story, Lucy.
Thank you, Gareth.
Well, I just like anything where like there's innovation going on, right?
And really
like,
cool.
Like, you know, like we were just talking about the John Lewis advert and James questioning whether it's platitudes or not. What I do like is where I see a brand getting off its arse, investing time to create different technologies, whether it tastes of meat or not, I don't know. I haven't tried it yet. But when you set out with a mission to tackle something as well as create a product which is effective and people want, that's the way that helps the world. I think it's great.
Yeah, amazing.
James? We're all looking to James for some cynical cut downs now.
I'm on board. I'm just not sure about the use of the word meat, because I understand when you said it's like seitan, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. So if this is just a kind of another way of making meat replacements, then that makes sense to me. But it annoys me when, okay, so my mum's a vegetarian, and it annoys me when she'll have like a chicken burger, a fake chicken burger, and say, oh, you couldn't tell the difference. It's like, yes, I absolutely can.
Don't know about fish. I feel like
fish, like a nice flaky fish. How do you recreate that?
It can be done.
Steak. I agree with you. I'd like to be. I'd like to know what a air steak would taste.
Yeah, I like it in principle, and you explained it beautifully. But I'm just still genuinely not getting it. So I don't think they're missing a step. I think I am.
I mean, the images don't look great. I'm not going to lie.
No, that looks absolutely foul. That's
I mean, the product imagery needs a bit of a rework.
Okay, as I said, I like it when they have a positive mission and the product is good. Now you're all telling me that the product looks shit. I didn't know this information.
Gareth, it doesn't look shit. It just needs a really amazing creative and production agency.
Okay,
to help them, you know.
Lucy, ABC, always be selling?
No. Always be
closing. Yes, sounds like a terrible thing that you have. you don't want to talk about, but you have an appointment later on that you have to dash off to.
I'm all for it, really. I quite like healthy roots. Don't get me wrong, I like meat, but if it's meat, like meat air, I could deal with that.
I like to taste a bit of suffering in my meat, so this will not do it for me, I'm afraid.
That is why I thought you, I mean, I looked at it and I was like, this is cool, Jade is going to hate it, I'm going to bring it to the cool
genuinely,
shit podcast.
Something like lab-grown meat, if they can get it to actually kind of work and be as good, then I'm all for it. And I do think that's probably where the future will lie somewhere, because I do think perhaps, you know, we look back at certain kind of things that people might have done 300 years ago and you think that's absolutely appalling.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if particularly kind of the way we consume meats and particularly kind of farm meat, like battery farming and stuff, I wouldn't be surprised if people in 300 years time look back and say these people were absolute monsters, how could they possibly do that? So I'm in favour. I'm not ready to invest yet, but
that's fair.
And I feel like I need to go away and do a bit of research around it. But I like it in principle. Happy?
I'm really happy. Thank you, James.
Wow.
My story is basically we see them on the streets, we see them in the train stations.
Ooh.
Am I selling it?
I'm invested.
Right. We see them on TV in a little chef's hat cooking it up, you know.
Is it me?
Is it James?
No, it's rat.
Rat.
Close enough.
Rat.
Right, so the ratatouille got you.
So basically, rats have been tested on by scientists to basically dance. So they're boogieing down to Lady Gaga, a little bit of Staying Alive in Mozart. So the scientists have put little, I think, helmets on human heads and rat heads and kind of seen if they can basically gather the rhythm together. That's my story, guys. So my idea here is if rats are dancing to Lady Gaga and Mozart, they can then be dancing to like the electric slide with us at the like weddings.
Like just for the listeners, that Bree's really trying to sell this story to me, but I think that's because I'm the easier of the two of us here. So I'm going to go straight to Mr. Cynic in the corner there. James, what do you make of this story?
Love it.
Yeah, I was going
to say, dancing rats, are you out of your mind? That's a lot of fun. No, I did watch the
screw
video.
Screw stage. Give me a dancing rat.
No, this is way better. It's quite interesting as well, because it's something to do with, because you know how rats' brains and human brains are supposedly fairly similar in a lot of ways, which is why kind of rats are used to experiment on fairly often. This is a new extension of that, from my understanding, where the way kind of rats consume audio is pretty much the same as humans. And for some reason, at about 120 to 140 beats per minute, they start nodding their head along to the beat and start dancing. I think that's pretty impressive.
So when I was living in Sydney, I was sharing a flat with a scientist. Anyway, so she used to measure the effects of ecstasy on rats. And apparently, like when they gave the doses of ecstasy, they'd all huddle together and start hugging each other.
It's wrong, but it's cute. Yeah,
exactly. Until one or two of them ruined it and got really horny, and then like it would all kick off, and a couple of the rats were like, "I wasn't into that. I was just a hug. Oh no, you ruined it."
Although weirdly, now I'm thinking, if they like music and they also like ecstasy, then there could just be a kind of a pleasant rat rave going on.
So do we know that like, do they enjoy it or are they just dancing?
You don't dance ever sad. Like, it's, I think there's like whether it's human or let's just say it's conscious. Say you've never seen someone consciously move to music when they're sad.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen. Just
okay,
it's not
so they have. Have they noticed that across all rats, there is a particular genre of music they enjoy the most?
Well, apparently Lady Gaga, which I know isn't a genre. That's just one particular lady. So it was more to do with the beats per minute, I think. But so it's pop music. So actually, this was what was interesting about it. So the music, because you know you can kind of like engineer like what's going to be a kind of a popular song now, supposedly. And I think there's an AI program that can do that now. And for whatever reason, there's certain things that all human beings particularly like, whether it's to do with kind of the beat, the tone, all that sort of stuff. And apparently it's exactly the same for rats. So rats have the same taste in music as humans in terms of what's popular music, what's in the charts for humans, is what gets rats dancing.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that means, because humans vary in music, so would that vary in different rats, yeah, the type of music that they like?
There's some like banging hip hop rats.
Yeah.
There's like
you there's
know,
a rock
like,
and roll
the EDM
rat.
There's
that
like,
jazz rat that just scats all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny as well that also they're kind of really humanizing rats here, which is unfortunate because they're still experimenting on rats. Although, as far as experimenting goes, you think just playing a bit of music to a rat isn't so bad.
I don't want to take us off on a tangent, but like, and close to Lucy's story, but I do think in the future we're going to find out things are way more conscious than we know, and we'll be like, I can't believe they used to do that.
Yeah.
Even the worldwide.
Isn't that what I just said? Are you going to cut out my bit and just put your bit
in the wood wide web? Do you know, like in in forests, like, and this is only recently that they've found this out. Like trees use, you know, the roots underneath, to talk to each other. So when prey's close, they warn other trees. Oh, and this is this really interesting thing. Like exactly, but like, and they'll send nutrients to certain trees if they're hurt. But this is the super interesting thing. If they are your family, so that they know that they have come from the same place and they're essentially brother or sister or whatever, they help them out more. They help out their own family.
Even if
one's an oak tree, the other's an oak tree. If one's their actual brother, they'll be like, sorry, I've got to do this
first. I feel like I'm welling up like I did the John Lewis ad now.
Here we are.
Okay, James. Had some stories there.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? Which ones did you like? Let's start. You always like your own stories, don't you? Well, it's kind of funny this week because
this week I didn't, and I was going to bring another one that I didn't like. What was the other one that I bought? I should probably remember that.
I did try to bring a classical element to this, but I just couldn't find a way in.
Oh, that's a shame. I would have enjoyed that. I would have got a kick out of that.
I'm sorry.
Do you know what? Chair, we all seem to like. It's not doing much for me, but maybe I'm just in a bad mood.
It's officially no cool shit this week. Cool shit
is cancelled along with Christmas. Speaking of Christmas, John Lewis, I didn't like that either. I can appreciate the John Lewis advert, even though it didn't cause me to stir too much. So that's got a shout, just because it is
no meat
form.
Meat or air meat.
No, I'm really the air meat is what I'm actually most drawn to.
Okay. There you go.
Lucy's
got her arms in the air like she's won a grand prize.
But as I said, I need to do some further research. So it may not end up in cool shit because I may read something for 5 minutes and think it's absolutely bullshit. But
where will people find out whether it made it in or not?
Zachagency.com/cool-sht/.
Brilliant. I think you should go home now and just rage at the wall or something like that.
Can I?
As your line manager, no. Nice. Lucy, thank you very much for coming. Bree, thanks for coming on for the first time. And James, I will see you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Bye.